True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Thursday. The Masters teed off. And we got, I think, a new entry for the biggest Grizzlies game of the year. All today. It's pretty exciting, Jeffrey.
Happy Thursday, Jeff.
Happy Thursday. Yeah. Happy Thursday from the Masters. And FedEx Forum should be rocking tonight as the Timberwolves are in town. Today on the radio show, we have Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. And then on Thursdays, and some of you may have forgotten this, we play something called Writer Than Right Trivia on Jeffrey. And it's doing this since COVID, started it during COVID. Yet another one of the good things that emerged from COVID is Writer Than Right Trivia. And listen, we were trying to figure out a way to pass the time back then because there was no sports to talk about. And Kevin Cerrito was gracious enough to join this show and preside over it. And since then, we've played Writer Than Right Trivia every week, where all people have to do. And I don't think this was the beginning. I think at the beginning we were like, okay, we'll give you the prize if you win. That seemed how most things work. You give the prize if you win. But gradually a trend emerged that Jeffrey won every week.
Mm-hmm.
Literally every single week. I think in the 5-6 years we've been doing it, 5 years, probably lost twice.
And it's more than that.
It is more than that. But not often. And so then we decided to just go ahead and say, listen, all you really have to do, because this is the kind of approach to life that we like to support and underscore, is play honorably. All you have to do is play honorably. And so if we can perceive that you are playing honorably, even as you go down in flames, inevitably, you get the fabulous prize. So Kevin will, in fact, because it's Thursday, join us this Thursday. We will play Writer Than Right Trivia, and we're going to give out a prize. We just don't know what it is yet.
Correct. We are working on that.
There will be
a fabulous prize.
There will be a fabulous prize. So there you go. How about that? We've added a little suspense to the whole radio show. In addition to everything else, before I get to the Grizzlies, I would ask you, Jeffrey, is the Luka trade the worst trade in the history of the world? You're stymied.
Oh. Sorry, Brad popped in. We were discussing pricing options.
I was literally speaking to you. And
yes, I'm
held
very
Brad
sorry for that.
Butt out. Mm-hmm. I asked the question, is the Luka trade the worst trade in the history of the world?
So what are the other candidates? And I know that we've been, my gut says yes, but I do think we have a tendency to be excessively hyperbolic.
There's no question that what is recent. I mean, I think one of the prime candidates would be the Herschel Walker trade.
Or the Babe Ruth trade.
And the Babe Ruth trade. Here's the thing, though. The reason that I think it is the worst trade in the history of the world,
it's the return.
Well, so, yeah, it's not just the return. So Herschel Walker, the return was quite remarkable.
The entire Cowboys.
They got this doesn't say it closely. See what the return was on the Herschel trade. There's been some pretty atrocious ones along the way.
Five players and six draft picks.
Mark McGwire was traded to the Cardinals. for TJ Matthews, Blake Stein, and Eric Ludwig. Like, that's pretty bad, wouldn't you say? Randy Johnson was traded to the Mariners.
Yeah, but like this, so you could make the argument for McGuire because, but like the thing when Randy Johnson got traded to the Mariners, like he was the, like he couldn't.
He wasn't great yet.
Yes.
That's the thing. Even like John Smoltz was traded to Atlanta for Dale Alexander, right? There was a reason for that.
Correct.
The Tigers were.
He's from Detroit. Like this was like.
Well,
he was like a hometown kid.
Yes, but they were in a pennant race.
Yeah.
They needed an experienced pitcher.
Right.
They did what they did, and so there was a reason for it. There's literally, and this is why it to me is so offensive. There's no freaking reason for it. Like the Babe Ruth one, which is everyone's number one. Okay, they traded Babe Ruth, the Sox did to the Yankees for. $100,000 and a $300,000 loan to finance the No No Nanette musical. Okay?
All right.
They knew what they were doing.
Right.
They accomplished, I'm going to guess, No No Nanette was the what it was ever was supposed to be, and they got the $100,000, and they knew exactly what they were doing. They knew Babe Ruth was great. He was already great. And they knew he was great. They just needed the money. Like there's some I have been a witness back when I was a young Buffalo Braves fan, and they traded Bob McAdoo to the New York Knicks for nothing. They knew what they were doing. They were selling out. Like that's what you do when you're intentionally selling out. That's fine. I mean again, you know what you're doing. Here, Nico thought he's just smarter than everybody else. It's incredibly offensive because they weren't, it wasn't like, hey, Luka's demanded a trade. We have to trade him, right? There are lots of those deals, right? There's you send Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That's a pretty bad trade from Milwaukee. But if someone demands a trade, that's one thing. Or we're cheap. We don't want to, you know, we're cheap. We can't pay him. Therefore, we're going to trade him. There's a lot of those deals. This was... We think we're smarter and he's not going to hold up because his habits are bad. And so therefore we don't want to pay him. But it's not because we're cheap.
Right.
It's not we're a cash strapped organization. It's that we are smarter than you. And by you, it's everybody in the world.
Correct.
Like there's nobody who thinks this is a good trade. Nobody in the world except for Nico. It's the dumbest, worst trade ever, I think. Others that are on the list of this, Kobe Bryant to Los Angeles for Vlade Divac. Well, that turned out to be a bad trade. But the truth of the matter is that that pick wasn't supposed to get you Kobe Bryant. It only got you Kobe Bryant because they're the Lakers and he forced his way to the Lakers.
Correct. I was going to say that was draft manipulation.
Right. This is draft manipulation. That when it wasn't, they wouldn't have ever gotten Kobe Bryant, Charlotte did this and got Vlade Divac back, but they were never going to get Kobe.
Right.
Brett Favre to Green Bay for a first round pick. The Atlanta Falcons had drafted Brett Favre and then sent him to, they didn't know what Brett Favre was going to be.
Well,
he wasn't yet anything close to what Luka already was.
And like Brett had not proven to be a quarterback. Like he was getting in trouble. Like,
yeah.
He was a problem.
Herschel, yeah, he hadn't just taken the team to the Super Bowl,
right.
Which is what
correct.
You know, Herschel Walker was traded for five players.
Yeah, I had the return,
a first round selection, and six other draft picks.
The Cowboys ultimately used those draft picks to acquire players. You ready for this? Emmitt Smith, Russell Maryland, Darren Woodson, and Kevin Smith.
Like, those are.
I will say. Last night had to be cathartic, right?
Well, for who?
If you're the fans, like, you're...
Yeah, but you don't move on. You never move
yeah,
on.
Yeah, but there's... Sometimes you just need to yell. And he had to sit there and take it.
Well,
and
that's
true. I give him credit for not hiding in the box, whatnot. He had to sit there and take it, and they unloaded the clip.
I've never seen anything like it.
It was awesome to watch.
Fire Nico and cheering
for the guy
the other team.
That's their guy.
And he's weeping. I'm just weeping.
Well, I mean,
Like, he wanted to be there. That's the other thing.
I can hate Jack Eichel, but Jack Eichel asked to be out of Buffalo, so when he comes back, you boo him.
And I think it only probably enrages you even more because you see the scene and you're going, he was going to resign here.
Oh, he was 100% going to. There was no doubt he was going to resign. That was why they traded him. They didn't want to offer him the deal because they think he drinks too much or eats too much or isn't whatever. It's just the dumbest thing in the history of the world. And I don't think, as a Dallas fan, I don't think you ever get over it.
Oh, I agree.
Ever. I think the only time it doesn't hurt as much anymore is if Luka sucks at some point, gets hurt, right? If Luka gets hurt, sucks, whatever. If something happens to Luka's career. Otherwise, or if he forces his way out of L.A. and so he starts to move to a bunch of different teams, then it's not a little painful.
Starts Duranting.
What?
Starts Duranting.
Yeah, if he starts Duranting, then it's a slightly different. Or, like I was going to say, he retires and you win a title. Yeah, you're no longer obsessed by it, but you never get over it because that was the 15 years that you could have had with Luka.
Well, and then
it's craziness.
Well, we were thinking about this. Is it possible he was the biggest star in DFW? Is there, like, the most liked, so popular, I guess, is probably. Because
well, so,
I don't think
so,
Dak.
Okay, so we have a, basically, you have a, everyone in Dallas can show up and get a autograph.
Yes.
From a player.
Correct.
And it's either Dak.
So the other ones I was thinking, because I don't.
I'll tell you, it's not going to be Miro Heiskanen.
It's not going to be a Ranger, and I don't think it's going to be a star. Agreed?
No, it's not going to be.
Okay, so the ones that I could think of off the top of my head were Dak, but Dak is somewhat polarizing.
Right.
CD?
There's no way that CD would get the same kind of line that Luka would.
Micah? Parsons?
Parsons would get a longer line than CD.
But would they get a longer line than Luka?
No. He was the biggest star in
that. And so that's what's amazing about it. You read the story that Tim McMahon wrote yesterday. It's possible, Jeff, that this decision is going to cost $100 million to the Mavericks.
It's just crazy. Now, mind you, in the broader world, right now, we see decision-making that is also equally irrational. Like, what the hell is happening? Why would we self-inflictedly do this to ourselves? What in the world? Just for a quick tariff update.
Mm-hmm.
They reversed course on the tariffs yesterday. Let's be honest, not fully, but enough that the market stopped plunging and rocketed. Like
they paused, I think it was 70 countries, they paused.
They paused everyone. Well, there's still the 10%
right.
across the board tariff, which didn't used to exist. And it's the 10% across the board tariff is a little like Jalen Wells breaking his wrist. You thought he might be paralyzed or badly hurt,
so
therefore the broken wrist is, it's just a broken wrist. Whereas a 10% across the board tariff is, it's nothing compared to what we
right.
were just dealing with, but
correct.
It's still a 10% tax on everything we buy ever, period.
And then we swung back around and got a little more China.
And we got a little more China just for good measure. And there's no question that this was, listen, I'm again no economist, but what happened is, let's listen to this. Let's see if Fish would be happy with this. The yield rates on bonds were going up. And here's what happens. When the market is plunging, okay, people take their money and they go to bonds.
Yeah.
That's what they do. And so that means the yield rates, which is basically what bonds pay off,
right.
they go down because
there's more people buying them.
And
right.
so you don't have to entice them with
right.
this higher rate. But what was happening was the market was plunging. And the bond yields were going up, meaning people were fleeing bonds too. Basically, they were fleeing the American financial system. And that is, as Trump himself said, it's funny because some of his advisors said, this is the grand plan all along. And then Trump came out and said, no. People were getting yippy. People were getting
snippy, yeah.
Yippy like Luke shooting three-pointers mm-hmm. these days, right? Mm-hmm. You know, a little bit of the
yips. It ends tonight.
And so, and so that's why he came out and said it. That's why they changed their mind. There's still, again, a 10% tariff across the board and 125% tariff on China. So if you're buying a phone or a laptop or a video game or whatever else, life is going to be more expensive. We'll see what's happened today. Inflation is happily good numbers on that, but the market is down again another
2% for the Dow,
almost 3% for the S&P 500.
Yeah, and then 3.5% for the Nasdaq.
So, anyway, wild times. It was a weird day yesterday, generally. And I here's something I struggle with. There's some people on my Facebook page who just glory in anytime anything bad happens in Memphis. They love amplifying it and talking about what an asshole the place is, right? I just don't think it's productive, you know, like to amplify everything good that happens in Memphis. You can do that. Like, no, people love to go on the threads and amplify everything that bad that happened in Memphis. And I just don't understand what drives that. I don't understand the need to do that. I don't understand. Hey, listen, if something happens in your neighborhood and you want to tell people, listen, look out because there's something happening in our neighborhood. But I totally understand that. But yesterday, so I don't even want to talk about this stuff, but yesterday was a weird day because we had the woman arrested because there was a trailer with intellectually handicapped people in it, one who subsequently died, and live goats in the trailer. Malnourished, hideously taken care of, woman arrested and charged. That's weird and tragic and sad, right?
100%.
Then there's something called Memphis Allies, which is a group that's been formed to fight gun violence. And there was a shooting at the Memphis Allies gun violence meeting. And someone killed. And then, right around the corner from me, shooting. Literally, their backyard backs up on my backyard. And I don't know what happened. There's no sense yet of what happened, but there was a shooting and a fatality. It's just kind of crazy. And again, I don't like to be the guy amplifying this stuff. And I don't, like someone said, the mayor, tell me again that crime is down. Well, both things can be true. There can be a crime in my backyard, effectively, and crime can be quote unquote down, and it can be not far down enough. He didn't say, the mayor didn't say crime is gone. He said crime is down. So I believe that. I also believe that it's too high, and I also believe that yesterday was a disconcerting day on a whole bunch of fronts. So happily, we have the Masters. Play that music again. That'll settle me. That'll settle me down.
You need a quick leaderboard update?
Yeah, let's have a leaderboard update.
Jeff, through 9 holes, Johnny Vegas, 2 under par, currently leads the way. Zach Johnson, former Masters champion, everyone's favorite Ryder Cup captain, also at 2 under. Chris Kirk, also at 2 under. There's an amateur, Noah Kent, also at 2 under. Brian Harman at 2 under. Steven Yeager at 2 under. Lots of low scoring today. Could be a good day for scoring, Jeff.
Who's your... Well, we don't do picks. Picks aren't something we do on this show. But what the hell? Who's your pick, Jeffrey?
Jeff, I had to go with my boy. He said we can't be afraid of getting our heart broken.
Plus, his daughter sunk a nice, sweet little putt yesterday.
That was a girl that wanted no part of the spotlight.
She didn't.
She was going bananas, and she was like, no.
Poppy
McElroy.
Is that her full name, Poppy? Is that her formal name, do you think, or is that a...
It's the only name I've ever heard.
Poppy. I'll go Morikawa.
All right. That is the... Numbers and data would suggest that's a good pick.
That's where I live.
Yes, that's
I live in the numbers.
Mr. Analytics,
I live
yes.
in the numbers and the data.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Grizzlies tonight. We got.
By the way, that's our prize. We have Grizzlies tickets to give away for Rider and Right Trivia. So the last ever TNT regular season game
ever in history.
Well, I mean, I guess theoretically they could buy back the.
So, how many tickets are we giving away?
We will be giving away 4 tickets.
4 tickets, are they upstairs? Let's just have the people know what they're getting.
I believe so, but I don't have them in front of me.
Yeah. I could throw in mine, too, my upstairs tickets. No, I can't because I don't. How are people going to get them? That's my question. This is one of the things that happens. The Grizzlies do give us tickets
yeah.
for some big games, right?
Yeah.
And tonight is one.
Correct. So Connor's going to take care of that.
Okay, but I would like I would like an answer to this question,
mm-hmm.
and you don't know the answer. Maybe people do. They give us hard copy tickets,
right,
which don't exist
tickets.
In the real world. They give us paper tickets. We no longer have, because we're lean, like Doge, man.
Mm-hmm.
We are lean and mean here, and so we no longer have a receptionist or anything. We used to leave off prizes,
right.
And you could come in at the Grand Studios and pick up your ticket. We no longer have a receptionist because efficiency, and so we can't really get them to you. We don't have a drop spot or whatever else. Is it effective to take a photo of a hard copy ticket and text it to someone? Does that convey the ticket?
I believe as long as the barcode is clear. Because the barcode's what they would be
scanning.
Any
of you know clarity on that? What's your Twitter handle, Jeffrey?
At JWright929ESPN.
And what's mine?
Jeff_Calkins.
That's correct. You're going to misspell both Jeff and Calkins, though, so mm-hmm. good luck with that. Anyway, we will be giving away 4 Grizz tickets, Righter Than Right trivia, Grizzlies, and the Timberwolves tonight. Biggest game of the year, Jeffrey?
Has to be, Jeff. They're all, we're now in a 3-game series.
8:30 tip. Grizz are favored by 1.5. And were you satisfied, given what happened with the opponents last night, the
yep.
people that they were jockeying with last night, if I had offered you what happened last night, would you have accepted it? And here's what happened last night, so the people know. The Lakers did beat the Mavs
yep.
in that Luka love-in. The Nuggets beat Sacramento. The Clippers beat the Rockets, who are sitting everybody except Jalen Green, who played like 15 minutes. And then the one that helped.
Yep.
San Antonio beat the Warriors. Harrison Barnes, former Warrior. This was a revenge night for
yeah,
former
absolutely.
For former players, right? Harrison Barnes does it to the Warriors after Luka puts up 45. On the Mavs, Harrison Barnes hits a 3-pointer, and the Spurs beat the Warriors 114-111. If I had offered that to you yesterday, would you have accepted?
I think he would have had to have accepted it because all 4 teams were favored and were favored in a way that if you got one of the wins, it was enough of an upset that I think you'd have to sit there and go, yeah, I'll take that. The only concern now that I have is, okay, what happens if the Warriors on Sunday, because we've been talking about what's the path we need. It's like we need either the Warriors or the Clippers to take 2 losses. And one of those teams, they play each other on Sunday, so they're going to get one of them. So we need 1 extra loss. Now what happens
That's the problem.
if they split?
I'm a little... I wonder how... Like, very clearly, if the Grizzlies win out, they've got no problem. They will
right.
not be in the play-in. That's very, very clear. And there is some potential. I don't think it's high, but there is some potential that Sunday's game against Dallas, which you should win anyway,
yeah.
but there is some potential that it will mean nothing to Dallas. Here's how it would mean nothing to Dallas, okay? Because Sacramento and Dallas, they're locked in now to the play-in.
Right.
So the only question is, who's going to be playing at home?
Right.
If Sacramento wins their next game or Dallas loses their next game, the game Sunday will be meaningless for Dallas.
Right.
Okay? The problem is Sacramento's next game is against the Clippers and Dallas's next game is against Toronto. It seems, therefore, then Sacramento plays Phoenix Sunday, but
right.
but it seems like that game will be meaningful. Likely that will be meaningful for Dallas, right?
I think that's right.
Because Dallas is going to beat Toronto and the Clippers are going to beat Sacramento.
I think though I'm not focused on Sunday. To me it's the next 2 days.
Okay. Yeah. Next,
but
yeah,
I do agree with you. It seems unlikely that we're going to be gifted a last regular season win.
My only problem with it being Golden State, the team that lost, is I think it's going to be tough to pass Golden State.
Yeah.
Because they have the tiebreaker over you.
Yeah.
So, but in the end, Golden State and the Clippers, one of them will lose the game. But here's the problem. Right now, the Clippers are, you're basically tied with the Clippers. And it'll work. It would work. The Clippers or Golden State, someone's going to lose that game Sunday.
I've just decided I'm rooting for the Clippers.
So massive game tonight, massive game tomorrow, and then a massive game Sunday.
I think what was the most discouraging thing was I was hoping that the coaching change and everything would just cause the Nuggets to quit.
You can go either way in a coaching change. You can be demoralized or you can be inspired.
Yep.
Do you think the Grizzlies have been inspired? I think so.
I think it's tough to determine because I think the most significant part post-coaching change is Ja has come back and he's played well.
Ja had been back prior to that. He had returned. No, he hadn't. Not immediately.
No, because that was the joke. The joke was he had the Jenkins flu.
He came back. You're right. Okay, but is part of the reason that Ja has come back, been engaged, and played well because of the coaching change?
I think you have to consider it. I'm not saying it's a nothing burger. And I think the other part is like they have structured the offense recently to be to his liking.
Right. So that would be a reason that he has come back and played well.
Yes.
That's not.
I'm not trying to diminish, but I'm saying like I do. It's
weird. Ja had come back. He had come back. He had played well, and then he'd gone out again, right, with the hammy, and so he came back from the hammy. After Jenkins was fired. Jenkins, by the way, on Saturday, people reported to me, was hanging out at Gibson's Donuts, having a nice time with his
family.
Know. Well, yeah, one of the things I always lamented about, I mean, again, I didn't cover him as much this year, so I didn't really get to know Taylor Jenkins as much this year. People say he's a really great guy.
Yeah.
But there's such a wall of verbiage and whatever.
Coach speak, yeah.
He never really felt like...
Personality.
I think it was intentional.
No, I agree. I think he probably is a guy with a good personality, but we don't know that.
I felt, yeah.
Most people say he's a good hang.
That's what they say.
Yes.
But I felt like I had a better, at least a real relationship with sort of all, the coaches who preceded him. More, even though he was here for a long time.
I think Fizdale was an act.
It was an act.
Yeah.
Well, Fizdale was totally an act, and he wasn't here that long. He was only here a year and a half. But you think of, like, Lionel and I would clash.
Sure.
But I had a relationship with Lionel. Dave Yeager, you know, whatever. We had a relationship with Dave Yeager. Hubie, I had a relationship with Hubie. It just
even
felt...
Fratello.
What?
Even Fratello. Like, Fratello could be, like, curmudgeon-y, but, like, he at least, like, he made himself, like, he was who he was. You know what I mean?
Are you particularly hopeful? I'm not.
My problem is I don't know what 2-1 gets you.
No, I just mean hopeful for the results of the next two games. I just hate to say this, and I don't. But like, you remember beating the Wolves with Brandon Clark making an incredible defensive play, closing out.
Yeah.
At the end. Well,
and
he's been
he's been a bad problem for them, dating back to the playoff series.
Remember Jalen Wells as a, you know.
Yeah, but Luke's going to break out of the slump tonight.
Yes, but defensively. Defensively.
Yeah. His offense is going to turn into defense.
So, I just think they're long and it's, I don't know. We'll see.
But we can also acknowledge they're a weird team.
They are a weird and unpredictable team.
Because you can see them on certain nights and you go, that team can win the West. And then you'll see them on other nights, and you're like, this doesn't work.
8:30 tip. We will be giving away tickets to that game in Right of the Nerd Right Trivia, which we will do next. You know, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We're gonna play Believe It or Not on the other side. We got a lot more Grizzly stuff to talk about. Portal news to talk about. The Power Four were up on the hill. That was also happening. I'll tell you something about that, and more. So we'll do that next. Then Chris Harrington, then Ready the Night Trivia. It's Thursday on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're looking for a new financial institution for any reason, whether you need a home loan, whether you need a auto loan, whether you're just sick of your damn bank, whether you got kids who are starting up an account, whether, like me, you had a wife who was moving to town and needed a bank account, Leaders Credit Union would be the place that I would recommend. They are a credit union, and so every single dollar gets plowed right back into better services, better technology, better rates. But they have incredible reach. As I said before, 85,000 ATMs across the country where you can get your cash fee-free. So you don't sacrifice anything by being at a credit union, and yet you get all the benefits of a credit union. To learn more, go to leaderscu.com/ESPN. All right, Jeffrey, let's play Believe It or Not. All right, Jeffrey, Ja Morant will tonight throw the hand grenade. It's a nationally televised game. All eyes will be upon him. People are very aware of this. Is he going to throw the hand grenade?
So my only problem with the hand grenade is I think it takes too long. Like I am going to be very clear. I thought it was a 10 out of 10.
I'm wondering if he just modifies it maybe to like just the earmuffs or like.
He was doing the ears before he did the hand grenade.
Yeah. I'm going to say.
You don't think he does the full hand grenade?
Hey, that means he's going to be hitting threes.
It's also in a laugher, too. It was in a laugher allowed him to do the full.
Not national TV, not the spotlight. I'm going to say I don't believe it, but I say that with no conviction.
Oh, well, let's just be clear. Ja Morant's going to do the gun thing tonight.
I do not believe that. I think I do think he is.
I think I'd say he will do the hand grenade. Of course, you're right. He's got to hit a three first. Yeah. I was, as you know, I'm a bigger fan of the Unsportsmanlike show than I was of some of the ones that preceded it. That came, you know, whatever. I think they're fundamentally good. I like Canty. I think Canty's good. And
I think it's a drastic improvement.
And Evan Cohen is.
Yeah.
He's a little. I mean, he's too much of a damn Pats fan for me, mm-hmm. right? A Bill Belichick, you know, stan. But good, good.
Radio professional.
Glib, exactly right. He's a radio professional. And but I was deeply disappointed yesterday. They just sounded higher than high and mighty, priggish about Ja and the hand grenade. Here, this was. Oh, come on.
He's mocking the NBA now. He's coming up with like different celebrations to a point that Hembo from Get Up literally said, because he loves war documentaries. He's like, maybe he's just watching the same war documentaries that I am. This is what Hembo said to me today. He's imitating that. I'm like, I don't think so. I had to guess. I'm going to guess that's not the motivation there, that he found some amazing documentary on PBS.
Based on the two times he got into trouble with the NBA with his social media activity involving guns, I don't think it has to do with his affinity for World War II.
Should we blame Gil Arenas? Is this Gilbert Arenas' fault?
No, I'm not blaming any. I'm not blaming T. Morant, his dad.
You're not blaming anybody else. You're not blaming the Grizzlies.
No,
it's
he's
all
a grown man.
They're not acting like one.
Well, okay, wait. You said not blaming the Grizzlies. Let me ask a question in return. Mm. Are we at a point where the Grizzlies should say, if you're going to keep doing this, you're not playing? Because you know what happens with that is then him saying, cool, I'll play somewhere else next year. And then teams are going to line up for him. Well, and they're going to say, well, we'll fix this.
Well, yeah, I think that's why the Grizz next coaching hire is going to be fascinating, because I actually think they need a fire breather, somebody to come in there and to hold Ja Morant accountable, and somebody that actually has credibility in that way.
Just think
about it. There's nobody from a player standpoint that can hold Ja Morant accountable on that roster. There's nobody there. I mean, like, there's nobody from a talent standpoint that's eye-to-eye with Ja. As much as I love 3J, as much as I love Desmond Bane, they ain't Ja. They not in that stratosphere.
Yeah.
And there's nobody on the sidelines in the way of a coach that can do that. So, you know, I think what happens with the Grizz this offseason in terms of bringing in people and players, bringing in coaches and players that can try to break through the Ja and get a better version of him is going to be critical to what the ceiling on this team with this
All right. That was ridiculous. Absolutely. I almost lament playing it. Evan Cohen begins by saying, you could say this is cute and funny because it was hilarious. That's why you would say it.
Well, and he's like,
it was hilarious.
It's getting absurd. It's like, that was the point.
Exactly. He is illustrating the absurdity of doing it. He's mocking the NBA. Yes, which deserves mocking. It's ridiculous. They just so badly missed the boat on this one in order to be the sermonizing behavior police. Mm-hmm. It was miserable. It was just across the board too. A lot of times you'll get two people saying, no, whatever. I kind of was hoping Canty was going to jump in because I believe in him. And he missed the boat too. All three of them completely missed the boat. And so I was deeply disappointed in that. As Chris Harrington said, and he wrote a column yesterday talking about a lot of stuff we talked about here yesterday, but I think the word was perfect. It's cartoonish.
Yeah.
And so there's no...
It was Looney Tunes.
There's nothing ominous or threatening about it because it's cartoonish. And it pointed out the absurdity of the whole thing. So I think they just 100% missed the boat. But that brings me to the next thing.
All right.
Chris Canty said the Grizzlies need a fire breather for their next coach. Do the Grizzlies need a fire breather for their next coach?
Yeah, I was going to say, I know you're disappointed in Canty. I would at least say he said more that I agreed with than everyone else. I'm of the opinion I think they need I don't think they need scheme guy. I don't think they need basketball mind. I think they're at the point where they need the ego massager, the motivator. I agree with him.
Well, those are different things, though.
I think
he said fire breather, hold accountable, and I could not agree. I could not disagree.
I think they
more.
Need a tough guy. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to be.
You need someone who will relate to and but if you don't need someone who will lay down the law to Ja. See what happens when they quote unquote lay down the law.
So Cobb
needs someone who he respects.
Cobb
very
and I
clearly.
Talked about this, and Cobb changed my thinking. There's no evidence that suggests Ja doesn't want to be coached. And coach tough, because the original Ja hater was T, who coached him tough, coached him hard. This is not a kid that hopped around going to school, AAU team to AAU team. He went to one college, didn't even play his freshman year, really. Like, there's no evidence to suggest he doesn't want to be coached toughly, and it feels like the soft approach with Ja has been the Grizzlies.
So I don't think, I guess fire breather, maybe it means different things to different people. I think, let's take this. How do you know that Isolo does not coach toughly? Indeed, if you read Drew's piece, the idea is that he is a very demanding, tough coach. I do think there's considerable evidence that Ja doesn't want laws laid down for him that seem ridiculous for the point of laying down the law. Look at what he's doing with Adam Silver. You come at Ja with I lay down the law across this line. What does he do? He comes up with a new grenade thing. Like, mm-hmm. He does not, in fact, respond well to hold him accountable, whatever. I do agree, and there's different ways to do this. You can be a tough guy who relates to him and connects with him and coaches him hard, but it isn't a hold him – like, I don't – it's a – and do we know? Like, because I think there's this assumption, and I'm not saying it otherwise. I don't know the answer to this. I think there's the assumption that because Isolo is Finnish, white, mm-hmm. You know, whatever, that he can't be a tough guy. Is he not? Do we know that he's not a tough guy? Do you have any idea whether he's a tough guy or not?
No.
Yeah. I don't know that he's not a tough guy or a hold accountable guy, but he's clearly not from the mean streets.
Correct.
And maybe in that way.
Well,
from the mean streets who played in the NBA who has that kind of credibility. But it's interesting. They talked about we got to bring in veterans who could. You know what they did? They brought in Marcus Smart and Derrick Rose. They've done this.
Yeah.
If you're saying get a player better than Ja, I'm all for that because he would be better than Ja.
Right.
Like, if someone on his talent level, I don't know. Like, I just don't know. I don't know what Ja needs. But I don't know that like Budenholzer goes to Phoenix, right? And he's going to fix that. Blows up in everybody's face.
That ain't who I'm thinking of.
Right. No, I mean, let's be honest. Some of this is race, you know?
Sure.
You know, he needs a black guy as a coach. You know, someone who's from the mean streets, who played in the league, who can speak his language.
And I mean, I care less about the had to play in the league, because I don't. How long did Mike Brown play?
No idea. No idea what his playing background was.
Like, I like the idea is like the Ime Udoka type.
Everyone says that. Who's the next one? Who's the type? It's a type.
So
it's a type. It's a type because he's great.
Sam Cassell?
I have no idea if he's the type.
I mean, that's the
problem. I've literally no idea if he's the type. He's playing the league.
I'm not versed in the NBA assistant pool, like the whatnot. Yes.
You're quite confident that the Titans will pick the best pick quarterback in this draft, will turn out to be the best quarterback in this draft. Cam will be.
I'm going to say I don't believe that. If I were drafting one, I would take Cam, and I would be okay with it. But I do acknowledge some of quarterbacking is just making sure your bad plays are not disasters. Well, Cam does have an ability to make the bad plays be
here,
really bad.
I'm going to do this to you. I'm going to offer you this. I'll give you Cam Ward or the field for 5 years from now or 10 years from now. We'll look back and say, who's the best quarterback to come out of this draft? You get Cam Ward or you get the field.
I think I would take the field only because I think the Titans are really bad. And I think it's just like it's a bad setup. And so someone's going to luck out and probably go to a decent situation. And like, if indeed the speculation is correct that the Rams want to take the next quarterback, I would much rather bet on whoever McVay has and the Rams than I would that this version of the Titans
is
going to be able to.
That could be one of the reasons why. I bring this up because, by the way, draft is 2 weeks from today. Praise be. Praise be. Praise be. But then, over the past 25 years, the Athletic did a story here. The first quarterback drafted has become the best quarterback 40% of the time.
That probably checks it. Like, I feel like
Some of it is like, are we 100% sure that Jaden Daniels he's right now the best quarterback? But are we willing to pronounce that? And are we willing to pronounce? I think probably. But are we willing to pronounce that C.J. Stroud is better than Bryce Young? Probably.
No. Oh, I'm
not.
Still.
You're still not.
Yeah.
I think it's a little premature. You just don't know. Like, Jaden Daniels is sensational. But so anyway, those are two. Jaden Daniels better than Caleb Williams. C.J. Stroud better than Bryce Young. Brock Purdy, first pick, first quarterback in that draft was Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you got it right with Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, and Kyler Murray. Best quarterbacks in those drafts so far. Anyway.
I think Trevor's the only one still with his team, right?
Well, maybe in that draft?
Yeah.
Yeah, that may well be. So, but then you got 2018 and the wimps over there, they wouldn't put Josh Allen as the best quarterback. They had to do a Josh Allen dash Lamar Jackson better than Baker Mayfield, who was the first one. Okay? Missed on that one. You got to say, you're a Baker guy. That's very clear.
Both are better than Baker.
Patrick Mahomes better than Mitchell Trubisky.
Yes.
This one I object to. I 100% object to. They say best quarterback Dak Prescott, first quarterback drafted Jared Goff.
No, I think Goff's
that's
better
a
than
lie.
Dak. Yeah.
It's just a lie. But the most what you would say is that if you want to say they're even, I can live with that.
But Dak is not better.
But Dak is not better than Jared Goff. That's a lie. So their 40% is a little based on some of their analysis here. Jameis Winston was, in fact, the best quarterback in 2015. Blake Bortles was the first quarterback in 2014. Derek Carr was the best. E.J. Manuel was the first quarterback in 2013. Geno Smith was the best. We used to be better at this. There were a lot of years in a row, and maybe it's the quarterback class. Andrew Luck was the best and first. Cam Newton was the best and first. Sam Bradford was the best and first. Matthew Stafford was the best and first. Matt Ryan was the best and the first. There was a run in there where it worked out, but lately it's been about, at least we'll say, a coin flip.
No, I think it's scheme. I think the
some of it's where they land.
Well, and I also think
scheme.
I think a big part of this is most of the guys, like there's the occasional guy like Cam that played in more of a quote unquote college offense, but Cam is like all you had to do is watch Cam off the bus. You're like, I think that guy can play.
Who's better? Here's some others, by the way. This is a pathetic draft. There was a draft in 2007 where Jamarcus Russell was the first.
Yeah.
And Trent Edwards was the best. That's sad. Vince Young, the first. Jay Cutler, the best. Alex Smith was, of course, the first. Aaron Rodgers, the best. You tell me, is Eli, they called it a tie. Eli was the first, and they call it a tie with Ben Roethlisberger, the best. You calling it a tie? I know you're an Eli guy.
I mean, I would rather have had Eli, but that's, as you point out, like, I can't dismiss it. Like, in the end, I always go back to the Giants have periods of sucking, and a guy named Lawrence Taylor shows up.
Right.
All of a sudden, they're great. Then they go back to sucking, and Eli shows up, and they were good.
I think on this one, I'd take the field.
I think you're probably
but
better.
It's not just because the Titans. It's just because there's a bunch of quarterbacks who could emerge, and
well, like,
I'm not so convinced. Cam doesn't feel like a slam dunk.
Well, like, I think about it in these terms. I get it. You're in the draft class that you're in. You can't. But if we put all of these guys last year, they're not going before Caleb. They're not going before Jaden. They're not going before Drake. If you want to say Cam might have gone before Penix,
yeah.
I think that's not right, but I would at least acknowledge that's a possibility. Do they go before Bo? Probably. Do they go before McCarthy?
They're in that tier.
Yeah. And so
they're in the Bo, McCarthy, right. Penix tier is Cam. And all right. We'll squeeze one more in here before we go to Chris Harrington. Texas Tech paying, depending on the number, between $3 and $4 million for JT Toppin. Bad news for the Memphis Tigers.
Yeah, I do believe that.
JT Toppin, by the way, also a All-American, like PJ Haggerty, and staying at Texas Tech, which makes sense because probably a second-round pick, likely, had he gone into the...
Yeah. He's clearly going to make more money this year.
And he's literally going to make much more money. And I've seen different numbers. Do you have a number you believe?
No, because it always all feels to me like NFL contracts.
But the numbers were three. I saw some saying $3 million. I saw some saying $4 million.
I always trust the lower number.
Do you think Memphis has $3 million to pay P.J. Haggerty? It's amazing. That's 1 year of P.J. Haggerty.
I think they do. I also think that if they did that, they would have P.J. Haggerty.
That's the thing, you need other stuff.
Like P.J. Haggerty and a bunch of...
I mean, we saw that they... We're literally saying they lost to Colorado State because they didn't have Tyrese Hunter.
Yeah.
So P.J. Haggerty can't win games by himself. We know that, right? Like, so.
Well, and Munns has told me he believes a key part of Memphis's pitch is going to be he wants somebody. He really believes that Tyrese Hunter was a big reason why he had such a better year. And somebody like that. So do I think that they can get to that number? Yeah, but can they get to that number and be able to fill out the rest of it?
By the way, so then in addition to, you hear about the house settlement, and you hear those words and you just eyes glaze over. House settlement is one of the words in sports, one of the phrases in sports that is just going to guaranteed to make you want to drive your car into a wall. So
it's not going to get better.
But no one wants to understand it, whatever. But so then what's happening is now, though, they're close to this house settlement where they're going to pay a lot of money back pay to athletes and they're going to engage in revenue sharing. Roughly $20 million maximum can be paid by these different conferences will be paid by these conferences to their athletes in direct payments. So now that the Power Four commissioners have done that, they're going to Washington and they're asking for legislation. And the legislation really is twofold. It's threefold. Because the real problem that the NCAA has faced is they aren't allowed to make rules. Because if they try to make rules that restrict mobility of players, restrict players from jumping year to year, restrict how much players can make, any rules that sort of try to rein this S in, it's an antitrust violation. You're not allowed to, McDonald's, I'm Burger King. We're not going to ever hire people from your people, and we're going to only pay them $2.25, or we're going to call them amateurs or whatever. You're not allowed to do that. This is America. It's a free market.
Student athletes.
You can't just so they need antitrust exemption, antitrust protection, so they can do it. So they can come up with rules that will restrict the rights or whatever of these quote unquote student athletes. Right. That's one thing. They also want to make it very clear. Because there is a way that the rest of Americans deal with this. The rest of America that is not the sports world deals with it by hiring these people.
Right.
And calling them employees and having contracts. That's what keeps them from jumping. The reason that Ja Morant can't just decide to leave today is because he's under contract. So he can't. But they don't want to. That would require calling your athletes employees. So they want to have legislation that gives them antitrust protection to enforce limits. And that says that these college athletes cannot be employees, and then establishes national rules as opposed to statewide rules for what they're going to be. What are these rules going to be? And it's just interesting to see, listen, there's a lot more bigger fish to fry right now in Washington, right? And then people are on different sides of this. Like Ted Cruz firmly believes in this. Ted Cruz is someone who wants to pass legislation along these lines. But there's a congresswoman from Massachusetts who played volleyball at Georgetown, I think. And she's like, screw that. Why are we putting limits on the rights of student athletes? Well, that's not our job. We're not going to do that. If they want to have restrictions on the athletes, they can call them employees and pay them like everybody else does. So I don't really have any real sense of what the appetite for this kind of thing is. I will say this. It would be good for fans. I'm not saying it would be good for student, whatever. You can make an argument. And I'm not saying it would be good for all fans. I'm not even sure that it will be good for AAC fans.
No,
Memphis fans.
I agree with you.
But it would be good for Power 4 fans. It would create stability.
And I think,
more stability.
I think even, yes, you can make the argument, well, maybe it's not as good for the mid-majors and the lower programs, but it's I think stability is going to help everyone.
So I'm not, whatever. I sort of object to it because it's the NCAA trying again to, wriggle out of something. They've been kicking and screaming all along, and now they're so I kind of resent it, but I do think it might help restore order to college sports. We're late to Chris Harrington. We got to take a break. Chris will come up next, and then we'll play Right and Then Right Trivia. We're giving away 4 tickets tonight's Grizzlies game. They're upstairs, but it's a big-ass game. You'll want to be there. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.